Welcome to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast for January 2016. I'm your host, Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. We hope you'll find this podcast informative, but it should not be taken as legal advice. The opinions expressed are solely those of the participants. Much has been said and written about the monumental changes that have happened to U.S. patent law in the area protecting computer-implemented inventions as a result of the Alice decision from the Supreme Court of the United States. But what of Europe? What's the situation there in terms of patenting computer-related inventions, and what strategies should North American inventors and their agents and lawyers adopt to ensure the greatest protection for their inventions under the European Patent Convention? Philip Harrison is a partner with Venner Shipley, a firm of European patent and trademark attorneys in London, England, and is a chartered and European patent attorney specializing in the field of electronics, fast-moving consumer goods, machinery, packaging, telecommunication, and software. With a background in electronic engineering, Philip is appropriately skilled to talk about the patentability of computer-implemented inventions in Europe, and did so recently at the annual general meeting of the American Intellectual Property Law Association in Washington, D.C. I spoke with Mr. Harrison from his office in London. Good afternoon, Philip.
Hi, Don.
Let's start with a refresher on the basics. Can you tell me about the European Patent Convention and how it deals with computer-related inventions and business methods?
Yes, that's a very good place to start. The European Patent Convention can be thought of as having two main requirements for patentability. A first is a set of basic requirements set out in Article 52.1, these being that the patent should be for an invention, which should be new, inventive, and susceptible of industrial application. Article 52.2 sets out what are not considered inventions, these being discoveries, scientific theories and mathematical methods, aesthetic creations, schemes, rules and methods of performing mental acts, playing games or doing business, and of course computer programs. Together, these fields are referred to as excluded or ineligible subject matter. A second set of further requirements is set out in the rules of the EPC, which implicitly require that an invention must be what is often referred to as having a technical character, in that it relates to a technical field, is concerned with a technical problem that is solved with a technical solution, and is defined by claims which state the technical features of the invention. The issue in Europe actually tends not to be the excluded or ineligible subject matter requirements, since in practice these are actually a relatively low hurdle to overcome, but are more related to whether what are considered to be the technical aspects of an invention are found to be inventive.
Now, one of the excluded categories is programs for computers, but I understand that Article 52.3 says they're excluded, quote, as such, end quote. What does that mean, and how does that help?
So that particular part of the Act refers to the fact that those items which are excluded are only excluded to the extent that they relate to those aspects of the invention as such. And if they have other aspects of the invention which are considered to be technical, then they should not be excluded on the basis that they partially relate to those items. So this is important where there is a mix of technical and non-technical features of an invention. And in which case, only those which are non-technical would be ones which are not taken into consideration in assessing the inventive merit of a particular invention.
So as in most legal schemes, the definitions rule. What does technical mean?
So this is not actually generally defined in the European Patent Convention and is actually assessed on a case-by-case basis. However, the case law of the Boards of Appeal of the European Patent Office has confirmed what is considered to be technical, and this includes processing physical data, such as image data or control values of an industrial process, processing that affects the way in which a computer operates, for instance, changing the operating system, saving memory, increasing speed, improving security or reliability, reducing use of communication resources and such like. Obviously, clearly physical features of a physical entity are also technical, such as a computer memory, a port, a server, and so on.
Now, I understand that inventions under the EPC also have to have an inventive step. Where does the technical requirement fit in with respect to the inventive step?
Right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the issue in Europe tends not to be the excluded or ineligible subject matter requirements, but instead whether the technical aspects of an invention are found to be inventive. An illustration of the approach taken in Europe is provided in the Convict decision, which is T641/00. In Europe, where it was found that an invention consisting of a mixture of technical and non-technical features and having technical character as a whole is to be assessed with respect to the requirement of inventive step by taking account of all those features which contribute to said technical character, whereas features making no such contribution cannot support the presence of an inventive step. While non-technical features can interact with technical features to change how the technical aspects of the claim technically function, the non-technical aspects cannot be used to distinguish over prior art. So an invention can be considered to have technical character by simply claiming the implementation of the invention on a computer. But pure business methods and other abstract or non-technical processes will nonetheless be refused on the grounds of lack of inventive step. Any technical aspects of those systems are usually provided in the form of conventional computers operating in conventional ways with no technical solution to a technical problem as required in Europe for an invention to be inventive.
Now, of course, there's no technical requirement under U.S. case law for patentability, but do you see any harmonics between the European subject matter analysis in the United States as defined by the Alice or Mayo cases?
That's a good question. I mean, there are certainly parallels in the approaches taken in Europe and the US, for instance, in that both jurisdictions require technical improvements in a technical field, and in the case of computer-implemented inventions, they exclude inventions where the sole technical contribution resides in the use of a generic computer. However, I think the tests are quite different, and as mentioned previously, in Europe, the excluded subject matter requirements themselves are less likely to be cited. The overall results will probably be similar, since the positions seem fairly aligned, although the result often comes down, in my experience, to the particular interpretation of the law in a given technology area by an examiner or examining division of the patent office concerned.
There have been huge swings in the U.S. recently in case law in this area. Have there been any discernible movements or changes in the EPO's approach to patentability of software-related inventions in recent years?
Well, actually, no. I mean, it's reassuring that actually the case law has been pretty consistent over the years in Europe, although the interpretation taken by the EPO does shift slowly over time. Interestingly, it appears that actually internal guidelines are issued within the European Patent Office regarding how certain technologies should be treated by examiners, and these can have an influence on the outcome for certain cases. For example, we believe there may have been recent internal guidance to examiners that document scoring, ranking, sorting, and classifying is actually generally to be considered non-technical. Similar internal guidance in other fields can also shift the likelihood of grants in those areas, and this guidance is likely to have a bigger impact than any slight changes in the law itself that we've observed over the last few years.
In the presentation you gave at the AIPLA last fall, you gave some examples of some patents in the computer area that have been allowed. Could you pick a couple for us now?
Yes, I mean, that's right. Despite the negative perceptions, software-related patent applications are granted by the EPO. One example of a patent for a trading system is EP1641213 in the name of Synova Financial Technology. Although relating to a trading system, which might be considered to be relevant to a method of doing business, the invention focuses on the processing of messages, which are in fact trades, in that system. A server consolidates messages such that they're collected in multiple concatenated time frames, and then they're transmitted as single transactions. It was shown by the patentee that a technical problem was solved, which was improving the processing of messages in a trading system to reduce processing throughput time. The technical features which are used in the solution of this problem are the consolidation point, which concatenates messages in given time frames, and a transmitter application, which transmits the concatenated messages as a single transaction. So even though the invention is used in trading, it was shown to solve a technical problem, i.e. processing throughput time, and on that basis was found to be allowable by the European Patent Office. Another example in relation to online gambling is EP2005400 in the name of IGT Reno. This relates to servers providing game functionality to users, and in particular the use of a player management server, which handles user accounts and such like, which is separate from the servers which provide the game functionality. So why did this application succeed? The patentee demonstrated that, again, that there was a technical problem which was addressed, which was how to modify the prior art system in which a single server would have handled the game and the player management functionality so as to improve the player's access to games while maintaining confidentiality of the player's data in the player database. So the technical solution was the server arrangement, which enabled client access to game functionality via game servers while supported by a separate player management server. And that was found to be technical and therefore allowable by the European Patent Office.
In the presentation you made, you provided some practical tips for people drafting patents for Europe. What tips do you have for drafting the description of the invention?
Yes, well, there are a number of ways in which the description can be improved to provide the application with the best chance of success in Europe. For instance, when describing prior art, it's important to describe technical aspects of that prior art and technical drawbacks of the prior art and avoid discussing non-technical aspects of the prior art, since that will automatically flag in the examiner's mind that there may be non-technical aspects to the invention. It's also helpful to cite European prior art in the same technical field which has proceeded to grant. This helps to give the examiner a basis for finding that the particular application under consideration is technical. When describing the invention in the application, again, it's important to focus on the technical aspects. For instance, specify the technical problem and any technical effects associated with that invention and any preferred features of the invention. And when describing embodiments of the invention, make sure that you really describe technical features of those embodiments as opposed to focusing on non-technical features.
And what about claim drafting? What tips do you have for that?
Well, in Europe, many forms of claim are allowable, including claims directed specifically to computer programs. A common form of claim is to a computer program comprising instructions which, when executed by a data processing apparatus, causes the apparatus to perform a particular method. But claims can also be directed to a computer-readable medium storing a computer program, as set out in a previous claim, for instance. A general principle to improve the prospects that an invention is found allowable is to concentrate on the technical features in the claim. So in this regard, traditional wording such as terminal, server, host, etc. is generally much safer in Europe than more commercial terminology such as app store, dashboard, point of sale, etc. So the claim language is important. Other points in Europe are that means plus function language is acceptable and interpreted broadly, and that wording such as configured to and adapted to is allowable and is also actually recommended in Europe.
I'm assuming a lot of your clients are American or Canadian applicants. How do you deal with them? Are North American clients typically well prepared for the European circumstance, or is your job an exercise in salvaging as much as possible as you can for the client?
Well, there's generally quite a mix in the applications we receive from the US and Canada in terms of how well tailored they are to European practice. If there is any uncertainty about whether an application is in the best form for Europe, I'd actually recommend that a European attorney review the application before it's filed in Europe, so that they can then advise in any ways in which the disclosure can be improved for European examination, for instance, taking into account the things that we've discussed earlier on. It's also much better to amend the application before it's examined in Europe, since we've found that once non-technical subject matter objections have been raised by an examiner in Europe, they can be very difficult to overcome.
One piece of advice you gave in your presentation was to consider drafting or modifying a specification specifically for Europe, and that this was particularly important due to added matter restrictions. Can you explain that?
Yes, so European examiners are generally much stricter than other patent officers in terms of the changes that can be made to patent applications after filing without introducing new subject matter. It's therefore much better to make any significant changes to the application, for instance, the changes that we've discussed already, within the 12-month convention period after the first patent filing in a given family to avoid any allegation of added subject matter. It may even be actually worthwhile having first filings for computer-implemented inventions reviewed by a European attorney before filing, if it is likely that those applications will ultimately be filed in Europe.
So you've made some suggestions about the application itself, but you also in your presentation offered a few strategies for EU filing to try to steer the application towards more sympathetic examiners. What did you have in mind there?
Yes, well, one of the ways that this can be achieved is by identifying the likely international patent classification code for an application, and then adapting the language of Claim 1 and the abstract so that the application, if necessary, falls in a more appropriate category. For instance, applications falling within the G06Q classification, which relates to data processing systems adapted for administrative, commercial, financial, and such purposes, are very much more likely to be objected to as being non-technical than those falling in other classifications, which are more technical in nature. So it's obviously the application has much better prospects for succeeding to grant if it's found to be in the right classification area. Another way that you can influence how the application is viewed is, as I've already discussed, citing helpful technical prior art, since this again can frame in the examiner's mind that the invention relates to technical subject matter and should therefore be found to solve a technical problem and be inventive on that basis.
One piece of advice you gave in the presentation was for borderline cases, you recommended avoiding UK applications. Why is that?
Yes, I mean, although the overall legal position for computer-implemented inventions in the UK is similar to that in Europe, the UK IPO generally takes a much more restrictive approach than the EPO does, and therefore we found that borderline cases are much more likely to be successful in Europe than in the UK. A European patent can, of course, be validated in the UK, so it can still result in a UK patent at the end of the process.
Now, coming down the line, we see the unitary patent courts. Do you see that them changing the landscape for software-related patents?
That's a very good question. The unitary or unified patent court, once it comes into effect, will actually apply the same law as that currently applied by the EPO and national courts in Europe. As a result, there should be no change in the legal principles applied to software-related patents once the UPC is up and running. However, one of the aims of the UPC is to provide greater harmonization within Europe in relation to patent law and to minimize forum shopping by litigants between the courts of the member states. With any luck, the UPC would provide a more uniform approach within Europe and greater certainty for patentees across all fields, including software-related inventions, although we'll have to wait until its implementation to specifically see how effective it is in that regard.
Thank you very much, Philip.
Thank you very much, Don.
Philip Harrison is a partner with Venner Shipley in London, England. For further information on Mr. Harrison's presentation on the patentability of computer-implemented inventions in Europe, and for information on our other jurisdiction podcasts, please visit iplawpodcast.com. You've been listening to Jurisdiction, the International Intellectual Property Law Podcast. I'm Don Cameron of Breskin & Parr LLP in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for listening.